Let us pray. O God, you broke down the barriers when you crept in beside us. You opened our eyes to see how the hands of the rich were empty.
And the hearts of the poor were full.
You took the widow's mite, the child's loaves, the babe at the breast.
And used them to show us the kingdom.
You gave us hands to hold black and white, African and Asian, the clasping hands of lovers and the reluctant hands of those who don't believe they are worth holding.
And when we wanted to shake our fists, you still wanted to hold our hands.
Here in the company of the neighbor whom we know, and the stranger in our midst, and the self from whom we turn, we ask to love as Jesus loved. Friends, this may just be one of those times in this thin, holy place where heaven and earth become one, where shepherds and kings can kneel together. I invite you now to set aside differences and thoughts of the impossible as we reach out to one another, greeting each other, saying, "The peace of Christ be with you." Nearly 2,000 years ago, shepherds abiding in the fields, watching flock by night, saw angels who told them about the birth of a Savior. Amazingly, they went and found it to be so. Wise men from distant lands in the east saw signs in the heavens about the birth of a great leader who would change everything forever. And so they traveled to see this thing that had come to pass. When they arrived with their gifts and treasures, they found themselves not in a palace, but in a lowly manger. And rustling through the hay and strips of cloth, they found the Great One of whom the prophets foretold. And despite the surroundings and its appearances, they found it all to be so. And when the angels heard about the developments on earth, that God was doing something new, they traveled to earth, and bending low, they found it to be so. The angels and you and me are gathered here this morning, not by accident, but by divine appointment, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey. Like the shepherds, like the wise men, like the angels, this morning we ask ourselves, could this be our thin, holy place of the Spirit in which we touch the holy in a way that's powerful and go home another way, forever changed? The scriptures give us record of their visit. And at the end of your pews, you'll find pew pads. We'd like to have a record of your visit with us this morning, even if you've been a member for 50 years. We also want to call your attention to a few upcoming events in your bulletin, on the blue sheet inside your bulletin. This week, there are many numerous opportunities to worship, give, learn, gather. serve the world and our community, together as a gathered people of God. Highlighting just a few of them, this week we bid the Reverend Quinn Caldwell Godspeed on his final week with us, as we seek to love on him as much as we can and as best we can, to thank him for his extraordinary gifts among us in this place. We also continue this week to collect for the Alston Brighton Food Pantry to help the hungry in our community and also help by preparing meals. There are also ways you can get involved in a special work day as a Martin Luther King Day service project. After worship, you're also invited to coffee hour across the hall. There are great Bible studies, worship opportunities, opportunities for communion on a weekly basis. Welcome to this brand new day in the year 2012. Thanks be to God. Everything is possible, and nothing is impossible. Do you believe? In the words of Howard Thurman, when the songs of the angels are stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the princes are at home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among brothers, to make music in the heart. Friends, let us worship God.
The reading comes from the second chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." A reading from the Word of God.
Thank you. Please be seated. Let us pray. Come near now, God. Come near, oil the hinges of our hearts' doors, that they may swing gently and easily to welcome your coming. Amen. Before the cross or the resurrection, before the creeds or the crusades, before there were Catholics or Protestants or Orthodox, before sacraments and paraments, before Bach's Mass in B minor and Michelangelo's Pieta, before the Hour of Power and the Left Behind series and the Jesus Seminar, before the Vatican and the Crystal Cathedral and before Old South Church in Boston, before Christianity, there was a child sent from God who made your head turn, who caught the whole world's attention, a child for whom stars danced and angels sang, whose presence summoned Palestinian shepherds and Oriental dignitaries, a child who touched things deep and high and holy. Luke, the evangelist, our brother in Christ. Physician Luke was, and artist. Luke makes it his life's work to write of this child, to build for this child a gospel, a strong and sturdy bark, a vessel bearing words and works, parables and miracles. A bark, a vessel able to ferry the child's story through the centuries and the millennia to us and beyond. But I want to warn you, truth in advertising here. If you are looking for objectivity from Luke, forget about it. It isn't there. In truth, Luke and his colleagues, they are smitten by this child, smitten by Jesus, whose compassion and tenderness are extended to all who are in need. Smitten by this child of God who reaches out in love and healing to the despised of his day, to Samaritan and to leper, and to those of low estate, to the widow and the orphan. So smitten are Luke and his colleagues that they come to believe, and to believe with a surety for which they are willing to bet their lives, that this child is heaven sent, that his tenderness and compassion are from God and of God. So smitten and persuaded are Luke and his fellow believers that as a movement, small, homegrown, scraggly, raggedy, but powerful with passion and conviction, they dare confront the common cruelties of their day. Luke and his colleagues, followers of Jesus, they stand up to face down and decry the practice of infanticide and the sport of gladiatorial contest, big business in the first century. So smitten and persuaded are they that they build services for the poor and frail, for widows and children, for the ill and for the broken. So smitten are they by the Prince of Peace that many of them refuse conscription to military service, refusing to conform to a way of life premised on the need for violence. Before Constantine and his sword, before St. Francis, before Opus Dei or the Salvation Army, before El Greco's resurrection or Newton's amazing grace, before Jesus Christ Superstar and Godspell, before Billy Graham or Desmond Tutu or Dr. King, before Christianity, there was a child, an infant sent from God to soften our hearts and to quicken our pulse. A child in whose shining eyes God is reflected and whose very presence provokes in us and for us a crisis and a question. What crisis, what question, what decision? This. Who will this child be for you? But even more important, who will you be for this child who comes from God? This holy one for whom stars danced and angels sang, who will you be for this child? And while the crisis and decision comes to each and every one of us, so too does it come to us together. Church, the gathered body of Christ. We read the stories of Jesus aloud together and listen together. In church, as church, because they are meant for us together as the gathered body of Christ in this time and in this place. So, Old South Church in Boston, we who are the church of John Hull and John Alden, of Phyllis Wheatley and Samuel Sewall, the church of William Dawes and Samuel Adams and the Boston Tea Party, the church which for more than three centuries has witnessed and weathered and sometimes engendered revolution and war, witch trials and freedom rides, depression and recession, hurricane and controversy. Oh, the past is good, good stuff. We owe it and we learn from it. But the crisis and the decision provoked by the child who was held up in Simeon's arm in the temple that day is about the future. Who will we be for this child in the year that begins today? Who will we be, Old South Church, for this child who comes from God? As the ice caps and the global economy are in catastrophic meltdown, as the gap between the rich and the secure and the poor and the insecure, the 99% and the 1%, becomes an ever-widening chasm of difference and indifference, who will we be for this one who comes from God? As the divides between Jew and Christian and Muslim grow deeper and ever more ominous, who will we be, Old South Church, for the one for whom stars danced and angels sang, this one who bridges North and South, Occident and Orient? So if you are a visitor among us today, you need to know this about us: that like Luke, we too have been smitten by the child Simeon lifts up in his arms. Don't look for objectivity from us. Like Luke, we too have fallen for this one by whom time is divided. And smitten, here is what we have answered from that question. Here is who we have pledged to be for this child this year and the next year and the year beyond. First, we have pledged as Old South Church in Boston that we will be for this child a sanctuary in this city. We have pledged to God and to each other that we will keep this house and home of God open 7 days a week, free to the public, a shelter and a refuge, a place of beauty and a house of prayer for all peoples, and a sign and a symbol that our God is big, so big. We have pledged to be a sanctuary in this city, a place and a people of both grit and grace, that here we will gather to hold the whole world of God on our hearts. And from here, we will together endeavor to exude the fragrances of compassion, healing, mercy, peace. That from this place and people will emanate kindliness and generosity. We have pledged that in this world that is so stubbornly tribal, separating north from south, rich from poor, educated from illiterate, black from white, immigrant from citizen, straight from gay, Muslim from Christian, Republican from Democrat, we refuse to acknowledge such boundaries and pledge to cross them and crisscross them as did Jesus in his day. Second, we have pledged that in this year that begins today and in the next year and the year after and the year after, we will be for this child a people in formation, Christians in formation. We have pledged to God and to each other that we refuse to be conformed to this world, to the practices of greed, elitism, tribalism. And that we, a diverse and vibrant congregation, a people alive to the living God, will come here again and again and again to be shaped by honest worship, to be formed ourselves for service, to become practiced in love and equipped for ministry. Third, we have pledged to God and to each other that we will take up this ministry in the 21st century at a church located at the crossroads. In part, we have said, ours is a ministry of place and circumstance. Located on a great square in a great city, we minister at the intersections of the South End and the Back Bay, Center City, and inner city, great affluence and greater need. As an historic leadership institution in Boston, we minister at the intersection between a long and compelling past and a wide open future. And as Jesus worked at those boundaries between male and female, Gentile and Jew, slave and free, rich and poor, so do we take up our work in the contested crossroads of our day. Amen? While the world succumbs to hatred, suspicions, violence, we are committed to learning the difficult and costly art of love. Amen? Sanctuary in the city, Christians in formation, faith at the crossroads. These are the three adventures of our vision for the 21st century. The vision we have spent a year discerning and listening for and claiming and into which we are growing. As Luke built his gospel, his bark, to ferry the story of Jesus into each new day, each new year, each new century, our vision is our bark, our vessel, by which we carry the story into each new day here. Before the Mormon Tabernacle Choir or African American spirituals, before Christmas trees or Easter eggs, before church organs or Sunday school, before infant baptism or believer's baptism, before the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, before the New Century Hymnal or the Book of Common Prayer, before any and all of this, there was a child sent from God who makes your head turn, who makes your pulse quicken, who provokes for us both crisis and decision. I invite all who are able to rise that we might recite together the creed from Latin America. I believe in Jesus Christ and in the power of the gospel which began in Bethlehem. I believe in the one whose spirit glorified a small village, of whose coming the shepherds saw the sign, and for whom there was no room in the inn. I believe in the one whose life changed the course of history, for whom the kings of the earth had no power, and who was not understood by the proud. I believe in the one to whom the poor, the oppressed, the discouraged, the afflicted, the sick, the blind, and the leprous gave welcome and accepted as Savior. I believe in the one who with love changed the hearts of the proud, and with his life showed that it is more important to serve than to be served, and that the greatest joy is in giving your life for others. I believe in peace, which means justice among all peoples and nations, and love among all. I believe in reconciliation, forgiveness, and the transforming power of the gospel. I believe that Christmas is strength and power, and that this world can change if, with humility and faith, we kneel before the manger. I believe I must be the first one to do so. Amen.
God be with you.
And also with you.
May the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts.
Christ is our peace, our light, and our hope.
Let us pray. In the beginning. In the beginning, God, there was nothing but silence and potential and you. In the beginning, there was just you blowing across the face of the nothingness, and it was so quiet, as silent as the movement of an atom, as silent as the space between stars, as silent as the breathing of a baby in the womb. In the beginning, there was only silence and potential and you. And so we begin the first prayer of this new year in that same silent way. In the beginning, in the new beginning, God, we know that all things will be made like they were when they were new. In the new beginning, you have told us that it will not be silent. You have promised that it will sound like a wedding, like laughter and music and feasting. You have promised that it will sound like thirsty people gulping the water of life, like babies gulping air for the very first time. Fix that vision in our hearts, God. Fix those sounds in our ears. Keep that goal before us, and do not let us waver in our march toward it, because here we are, God, between the silence and the party, between the time of nothingness and the time without tears. And though we are hopeful, here we are at the dawn of a new year, and there are other sounds to be heard. We know what war sounds like, God. We have heard the sound of people asking us for money on Boylston Street in the snow. We have heard our own voice asking others for money on Boylston Street in the snow. We hear too much on the news. We know the sound of fighting in our own homes. God, we know the sound of our own tears. And so come, God, come and say to us again, fear not. Teach us to trust the sound of those words. Give us reason to believe them again and again and again. Whisper those words to all who need them, to children in refugee camps in Africa, to prostitutes in South Boston, to the people in the nursing home right up the street. Whisper them to each one who entered our sanctuary this week, seeking shelter, or warmth, or beauty, or quiet, or music. Whisper, fear not, to all the ones who left their written prayers behind, asking for healing for loved ones. Whisper it to the one who gives thanks for health and for 40 years of marriage. Whisper to the ones who hope they will get a job soon. The one who prays that Jim will get a job soon. Whisper fear not to the one who prays that his girlfriend's father will accept him even though he's black. Whisper to all the ones who prayed in languages I don't know, but that you do. And whisper to the one who just wrote, please. Whisper to the one who wrote, "The light from the Lord has guided me through darkness at school and at work. Thank you, God." Whisper to the one who gives thanks for Francis, baptized here in 1957. And whisper your hope to these members of our own community whom we love. Whisper to Joyce and George, Thomas, Ken, Marina, Margot, baby boy Hawes, Ambie, Eric, Joe, Gwen, Caitlin, Sue, Regina, and Sean. Thank you, God, that though the feast has not yet started, though we are still poised between silence and the party, still we have received tastes of the future in the here and now, in delicious weather. In a city alive far into the night, in breath for a new day, in the warm bodies of the ones to our left and to our right, and in all these good things we now call to mind. God, though the feast is not yet set, though the banquet is not yet begun, though the festival has not taken over the world, still we know what it sounds like. And to us, it sounds like this. It sounds like these words that you taught us, which we say together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
You got up this morning and you made it to church after all you did last night. I think that's incredible, and some of you will no doubt think that's enough of an offering to be made this morning. But we're concerned some of you might not think so. You've been singing praise all morning long, and some of you no doubt think that's enough of an offering to be made this morning, but we're worried that some of you may not think that's quite enough to participate in the feeding of the nations. You have kept your heart open to the Word of God this last 45 minutes, and that is not easy work. Some of you will think that's enough of an offering, but we're worried that some of you may not think it's quite enough to save the world. So, because we would hate to disappoint you, because we would hate to take away from you one last opportunity to pour yourself out, because we would hate to deprive you of one more opportunity to become a disciple, the morning offering will now be given and received.
Gracious God, like the Magi, like the kings and children who brought Jesus gifts not out of duty, but who were simply unable to resist doing otherwise. Just so we bring our gifts today. Yes, we are smitten. And we offer them to you for ministry in this place and around the world. Ministry that opens and heals eyes and hearts in ways we find simply irresistible. What we give, gracious God, is yours already. We now return a portion of it to you. Thank you for entrusting it to our keeping. And all the people said, Amen.
And because Jesus Christ is born, may you in the year 2012 learn to love God so much that you love nothing else too much. And may you learn to fear God just enough that you need fear nothing else at all. And may the blessing of Almighty God, our Creator, Christ, our brother and Savior, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and every day, and let the whole church say,